Hello and welcome to the journalism.co.uk podcast, a show where we bring you insights from media industry experts to help journalists do their jobs better. I'm your host for today, Camille Dupont. This week, we're talking about a media outlet on the front line, the British Forces Broadcasting Service, also known as BFBS. It's an organisation known to those who, like me, are part of the Forces community, but dear listener, if you aren't aware of what BFBS is or what it does, we've got you covered. We are joined by Lisa Mitchell, a media leader and ex-BBC, MSN and Associated Press journalist, now heading editorial content at BFBS. She tells us more about what makes this organisation unique, and spoiler, it's not just about the news. It has a distinctive relationship with the Ministry of Defence and a very unique community to serve. We'll be chatting about the lines of impartiality, how they cater to its specialist audience, and what the future holds for the BFBS. We can all learn a thing or two about their approach to cover the war in Ukraine and what it takes to work for this unique organisation. That's all coming up, so don't go anywhere. Hello, Lisa Mitchell. Thank you for joining us on the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me on.
So I know you've got a little royal story you wanted to share with us.
No, it's funny because today we're doing some coronation planning. I'm sure like newsrooms up and down the country, probably across the world, actually. But it made me remember the first time I did a royal job, and I was a trainee at the South Wales Echo, which is Cardiff's evening paper. And the news desk, we were always like slightly taking the piss out of the trainees. They said to me, while you're up seeing Prince Charles, can you get him to stand with the paper and get a picture of him? So I said, oh yeah, sure, okay. So off I went. He was doing a visit to Merthyr Tydfil, and I duly went up to him and said, hey, Prince Charles, my name's Lisa Mitchell. I'm at the South Wales Echo. You probably don't know it, but it's a very big paper around here. Could you just stand there and let me get a picture of you holding the paper? And so I just went to thrust it into his hands when two really meaty paws were on my shoulders from the security people and hold me off. And so I got back to the news desk, filed my story, sort of really despondently came up to the desk and said, I'm really sorry, I didn't get the picture of him holding the Echo. And they all went, you didn't ask, did you? I went, yeah, like an absolute idiot. And they had not apparently expected me to take them seriously. So it shows you, I think as a junior, I was just so eager to do everything that slightly didn't listen to sense sometimes. They're very mean. And they're all national editors now. So I'm sure they've reformed themselves.
No holding a grudge.
No, of course not. No, they're good people. They're all good people. It was very funny.
BFBS has been broadcasting since 1943. It's a charity and it doesn't just produce or deliver the news. Could you tell us a bit more about what it does and why it is important?
Yeah, it's a really interesting organisation. Largely, it's set up to bring entertainment and information to service personnel abroad. So as you say, it started sort of during the Second World War, and then it would have been radio and theatre, and then it's carried on through that time. And now it delivers actually through an incredible satellite network, and that's where the bulk of the bit of what we do is getting shows and sport to people who are serving in difficult to reach places. So, for example, ships or in theatres of war, or at the moment we have a lot of people. You saw Prince William did a visit to one of these camps that have been thrown up along the border with Ukraine, and they have very little in the way of resources. They have to close down their phones so the Russians can't track them. So we go and set up very quickly, can set up entertainment systems and get entertainment to them using some clever tech, a lot of satellites. And the all the broadcasters are incredibly generous in letting us have live football, boxing, the latest TV shows to show this service personnel. And then on the side is news and military sport, which is what I look after. And that's designed to sort of really bring to both the service personnel and the wider public a good insight about what military is doing all the time. You know, even when it's not a very big story that would be covered by the mainstream media.
Could you tell us how you're, for instance, covering Ukraine differently?
Yeah, it's such an interesting topic for us because we look at everything through the viewpoint of the young service personnel. So what might they find interesting? So, for example, if there's some movement on the ground, we might look at what kind of tactic is that? Where might we have seen it before? What kind of tactic is that they're deploying and why? We might talk to former leaders from the forces to get their opinions and their ideas of why maybe the Ukrainians are doing this or the Russians are doing it and where they're going right or wrong. We also look at a lot of kit because there's a huge interest in the very quick development in kit that we've seen in the last year. A lot of drone usage and new kit that perhaps we haven't seen used in anger, kit that, for example, you know, our service personnel might be trained to use but might have not had the opportunity to use against an enemy before. So it's always trying to think, what does this mean for our service people and what does it say to them? And, you know, sometimes things that maybe another reporter might do in another broadcaster publication might be something that our service personnel don't think is interesting. And I'm exceptionally lucky because I have on my team, there are four guys who are either veterans or still reservists. And so they bring with them that sort of reality check of, yeah, that's interesting, or no, actually, we all know that. I'm really lucky to have that input actually in the morning meetings.
And could you tell us a bit more about how different it is to be working at BFBS and produce Forces News?
It's funny because it's actually weirdly not that different in a day-to-day business basis, because a lot of the team are sort of, I mean, I'm ex-BBC, but a lot of people are ex-Sky, ex-ITN. I came to BFBS when it was largely a TV newsroom. So we have craft editors, producers, all the reporters. A lot of the reporters are in their first and second jobs. But the older members of staff, more experienced members of staff, have come from very similar backgrounds to mine. So the main difference is we have this incredible speciality, which I think gives you just so much to play with. I already knew before I came that anywhere I'd worked before, Defence Stories had done very well. And there is just an incredibly engaged audience out there. So it's really interesting to work from that point of view. I mean, I think we'll probably come on to the relationship with the military and the MOD, who are the big financial backers of BFBS. So that is possibly slightly different.
So yes, I'd actually really like to go into the relationship with the MOD and the role, and especially the impartiality. You mentioned BBC, there's been a big debate. So how do you manage, I guess, a tradition of standing apart from, you know, government and comms, but also supporting and championing the military world, and also being in some areas, maybe in very close and direct contact, constant contact in places that could be dangerous as well. So it must be a very complicated line to walk sometimes.
Sometimes it is. I think in some ways it's also, I have very real clarity on it though, because we have one part of what we do, which is the part of the business which is the BFBS part, which focuses on the military community, and they're raison d'etre is largely around welfare. So it's to support families at home in the UK, service personnel abroad. It's about keeping morale up and keeping people informed. So they do work with the MOD on, say they want to remind people of some safety issue or a cultural issue or something that they want to sort of disseminate to the audience. They'll do that through our BFBS radio network, which is across all the bases, and they're the presenters and the staff live on base behind the wire. They're very much part of the community. On Forces News, which is the news part of it and what I look after, we work under Ofcom rules. Until a year ago, we had a TV channel. We were always under Ofcom from there, and we've just continued with it. That's quite a clear divide that I think the military understand as well. And that's not to say that we're not forces friendly. It doesn't stop us challenging the military or doing tough stories. And it comes down to the audience. You know, the audience is this service personnel, and I always think, is that something that they want to know about, or they are discussing? So a good example is, if you remember over Christmas, was a lot of reporting around poor housing, and it's something that we continue to go back to. A difficult story for the MOD, but a really important one for serving personnel. Another one is when they had the pullout from Afghanistan, and there were interpreters who had helped the British Army and the military left behind. Really, really difficult story for everyone involved, particularly the reporters who were having WhatsApp messages at all times of the day and night asking people to help them because the Taliban were outside. A story that the Defence Secretary acknowledged himself was really difficult and very moving. If you had worked side by side with these people and we, you know, really didn't help them when we should have done. And so another tough story, and another one is culture. You know, there can be difficult culture stories coming out, in fact, all three services. And those are important stories to do, so we don't shy away from doing that. It's an interesting one, but it's not as difficult as it might look from the outside.
Yeah, that makes sense. So let's summarize. BFBS is an organization that goes beyond producing news. It's a charity that supports military personnel and works with the MOD for their welfare, safety and entertainment, as well as of the broader community, like spouses and veterans. On the other side, there's Forces News, an organisation regulated by Ofcom. Although the daily life and running of the newsroom may not be that different from what we're used to in the civilian world, the audience has a very different expectation and knowledge base. What might seem salient to the rest of us could seem quite dull and uninteresting to the forces community. Next, we focus on the international side of BFBS and some of the lesser known aspects of what makes them stand out, from the specific news products created for and with the Gurkha community to how their teams are trained. The Gurkhas are soldiers from Nepal who have been recruited into the British Army for the last 200 years.
That's right. We have two stations for them that they receive on TV, plus radio in Nepali as well. And that's just incredibly important because a lot of Gurkhas come and either train here or live and work, but we're also able to get them in Nepal as well into their families. And in fact, we have that kind of tech that I was talking about, which is designed to reach soldiers in difficult places, is also used to get to remote places in Nepal so that the Gurkhas communities can stay in touch as well. And it goes back to that welfare part of what BFBS does. It's about letting them stay in touch as well with their own music, their own movies, and seeing the way that Gurkha stories are engaged with in English with civilians, because all our content goes on YouTube. They're obviously a massively important part of many British of the British audience's life as well. So I think they're held in great esteem, actually.
It's actually interesting because the broadcasting that you do, you do it from the UK, but also Falklands, where the forces are based.
Bahrain, Cyprus, a number of places. Yeah, so Forces News has a reporter in Cyprus and a reporter in Germany. But our radio stations are all over the world, as you say, and our satellite network is pretty much covers everything. But when you get down to places like the Ascension Islands and Falklands, that's when that real technical know-how kicks in, because it is not easy to get signals down there. And having that sort of reach across the world and being able to reflect it, particularly in the radio programming, is really important, because the next day, if you're listening, you might be going to Belize, or you might be going to Bahrain, or you might be going to one of these places that you're hearing about.
I'd like to go into the training side. Could you tell us a bit about, you talked about veterans, there's Media Academy, but also who you recruit?
We have a real range, but they are all journalists. And as I was saying before, a lot of them have broadcast experience from the big broadcasters. And then we have reporters who might be on their first or second jobs. The great thing about working with us is we are going out all the time and reporting. We don't sit in the office, which is, I think, quite refreshing, especially if you're starting out in your career. In terms of training, we have a small sport team who cover military sport. And at the moment we have a trainee there who's it's his first job out of journalism course, and it's, as far as I can tell, it's a great opportunity, because he's going to cover sport live every week, and because it's a small team, he gets to do lots, which is always really, really nice. And then across the radio network, people are coming from all over the place, really. Some staff we've had for many years, and some are on their first, take it as a step, an experience step, and then they go to Radio One or they go to other radio stations. The academy that you mentioned, that at the moment they're doing a production manager's course. So that was off the back of realizing there was a shortage of production managers in Britain. So they devised a course, and people, when they're leaving the military, they've done logistics, say, and there's amazing transferable skills from that to being a production manager. So that's what you do on the course. And then you can pop in and into the newsroom and be part of that and get experience there as well. So it's a real mixture of jobs within BFBS as well. A lot of technical jobs. People who have to be prepared to go to really difficult places to set up kit, fix kit. A lot of it really great engineers that keep the show on the road. Yeah, you don't have to have. I didn't have a defense background. I have done some reporting, but not anything more than that. You don't have to know military. But you know, we do have four reporters who have served themselves, and that does bring an extra element. Absolutely, no doubt. It's fantastic.
As Lisa alluded a few times, BFBS used to have its own TV channel. Last summer, in 2022, they stopped broadcasting and started to refocus their resources on digital media only. The TV channel Forces TV had become known for its cult TV classics rerun like Chips or old Doctor Who episodes, but also provided military-themed documentaries and series. This decision, time with the end of its Freeview license, led to a complete rethink as to how BFBS creates news, replacing the audience and mission of the organization at the center of its activities.
My key thing is really to think about being just more unique, being more military in everything that we do, to stand out, really, because, there's such a blizzard of ways you can get news today, that if you can have a speciality, that's incredibly powerful. And since we came off TV and focused entirely on the digital output, you know, our traffic's gone, our audience has gone up 200%. So we really are finding the audience out there. And the great thing is you get such love, brain engagement, immediate engagement in a way that you don't do with TV. So you get that sort of back and forth, and you can have conversations with the audience, which is fantastic.
How was moving away from being a channel to being fully digital? How did that work? And
I think it was, we had to completely change the workflow from being very focused on a 5:30 half-hour linear TV program to thinking about content that had more of a lifespan. And that's quite a big psychological change for any journalist, to go from, I'm going to an event, I'm telling the story of today, to I'm going to an event and I'm thinking, what's interesting about this today? Perhaps I can put that on our radio bulletins and I can do an article on it, but I'm going to find a feature that comes out of it. I'm going to explain it. Maybe there's some analysis I can do. So it changed the whole workflow in the newsroom. But what was great was it brought what were two completely separate teams, digital and TV, together. And the influence of both on each other is fantastic. The quality of the video that's being produced by digital has risen because we have very talented craft editors and producers on the TV side. And then the influence of the sort of faster paced, shorter social video editors on the producers is really marked as well, because everything became pacier and we are no longer sort of rigidly have to do every story in a similar manner, because it's part of one half hour program. You can do it in whichever way you like or whatever suits the story. So that's quite freeing. People are able to get as inventive as they like and learning to tell stories in different ways. And so it's been, we've transformed very quickly. And I have to say, the guys have taken it with immense good grace, because I think we came off air and we had about 6 to 8 weeks to change what we were doing. And that's really unheard of. So they did an amazing job. And it's allowed us to, when you step away from a daily news agenda, it makes a really big difference to what you can do. So we don't do breaking news. And I mean, I think the only thing we've done is the death of the Queen. But apart from that, we don't do it. And we really focus on thinking, what's interesting about this? What's different about it that we can do to distinguish ourselves? You know, what does this really mean? Rather than reporting exactly what happened, because frankly, there are people like Sky and the BBC and the Telegraph doing it brilliantly. And so we need to be different, stand out. So it's been, you know, actually less traumatic. You should really ask the team though. I think this is a very unfair one-sided version of what the last year has been like. But I think you know, there's nothing like going out with Royal Marines, you know, spending 3 days freezing cold up in Norway, filming, coming back, filing it, cutting it, putting your program out there, and a million people watch it on YouTube. I mean, that's a great experience for anyone. So I think the having the engagement with the audience has made up for whatever horrible pain I inflicted in the last year.
Let's finish on a note of recruitment, maybe. So if someone was interested in joining BFBS, Forces News.
Oh, I think they have to be really adaptable, but you'd say that about any reporter, right? Able to probably use a camera, able to do a radio package. But if you can't, we can train you. So we're a very, very positive place to work from that perspective, because I mentioned the senior staff are really experienced, and then we have this junior staff. So there's lots of learning goes on the whole time, but also because we are in this state of really finding out where we are digitally. And so everyone's trying something new. And so it's not like we have a very rigid way of doing things. So it does mean that new members of staff can really bring something to the table. You don't have to know anything about defence, but it helps if you are interested in geopolitics, if you're interested in asking why that's happened and why it's significant, and that you don't mind getting muddy and getting out in the field. And last week a team covered the winter sports from Maribel, which sounds way more glamorous than it really was when you're carrying cameras halfway up a mountain to film snowboarding. So there's a huge variety of stuff. And I would say it's a good place to work. I really enjoy it. They're a great bunch of people. And we're producing really great news videos.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Lisa. My thanks to Lisa for this insightful conversation. The FBS may cater to an audience civilians don't often think about, but it offers a valuable outlook on the news and support for its community. What I find the most striking is how they're not afraid to rethink their work to ensure their audience is best served, and how they're open to experiment with new tools, new angles, and new media. There also seems to be some genuinely great opportunities to kickstart a career in the media on both sides of the camera, to travel, and to learn how to produce in extremely varied conditions. I discovered BFBS through one of the many radio stations they run. Because of the nature of the work, jobs, people, and homes aren't permanent in military life. But what's always here is BFBS. Wherever you go, wherever your family is posted, BFBS will be there. For that reason, it's really been an honor to talk to Lisa and shed a light on a service central to the life of many in my community. What did you take from today? I'd love to know what you've learned from this conversation, so get in touch. I'm on Twitter, on Camille Comon. You can check out all our episodes on all your usual podcast platforms, SoundCloud, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts, by searching and subscribing to the journalism.co.uk podcast. But that's all we have time for this week. I've been your host, Camille Dupont. Thanks so much for listening. Until next time.